This is Talking Business. Joining me now is Marnie Godding and Adam Coniaris, who are the co-founders of Elk, which used to be Elk Accessories, but now it's just Elk. Because, Marnie, you sell clothes as well as accessories. Is that a simplification of the story?
Yeah, actually, it's probably evidence of evolution, really. We started with accessories and we moved into the apparel game probably about 7 years ago now.
And when did you start the business?
2004.
And what was the idea? What did you think needed to be done that wasn't being done at the time?
Well, I've got a marketing head and a marketing background, and Adam's the technical side of the business. And I think that we realised around earlier, probably 2002, that there was a gap in the market for well-made, well-designed contemporary accessories that could be purchased at a wholesale level by fashion boutiques and stores around Australia. And also it was perfectly timed because there was a real trend in the fashion market for, you know, boho sort of style product. And there were very few suppliers there who were actually meeting the market demand.
So, Adam, Marnie says you're the technical guy, but I presume you didn't make the stuff yourself.
Originally we did. Yes, my background is as a fine jeweler, and that was, I suppose, the catalyst of the evolution of the business. So we started out by making all the jewellery in house.
Oh, okay. And then did you start to then outsource it as well?
Yeah. Well, as it started to grow, it became pretty evident that we couldn't keep up with production and the complexity and capacity to deliver the product had to evolve, and that's when we started to move offshore to a certain degree.
I think access to materials also was a bit of an issue. The style of product that we're making didn't allow us to easily source materials in Australia.
What sort of materials are we talking about?
So at the time, a lot of it was what they call white wood, which is a mango wood as well. So they were timber-based products that were really suited to bleaching and dyeing. They're lightweight, and we were working with a lot of traditional craftspeople in cottage-based industries. So the materials really were only available in one place at the time, which was the Philippines. So really our own product lines forced us offshore.
So what sort of things were you making at the start?
We originally started out as a fine jewellery, so it was diamonds and platinum and custom-made product. That was probably the evolution of the business before Elk started. So I've been in business for really over 25 years now. And
well, when you started Elk, what did you shift to? Did the product lines change?
We started off making silver jewellery, so that was how it first began. That was the first line that we sold into wholesale stores, and then from there we started diversifying into semi-precious stones, and then that, you know, as you travel, you're exposed to different makers and different opportunities, and we started finding other materials like the timber.
Right. And when and why did you move into apparel?
I think that we'd established, our business is really founded on really great relationships and customer service and very close relationships with our customers. And we
found the retailers.
Being the retailers, that's right. And we was direct to market as well. And we found that they demand changed. They could see that we were producing product that was designed well, made well, and was selling for them. And we moved into leather goods really quickly. And then from leather goods, we went into knitwear. And then the retailers were asking for full head-to-toe looks. So we were giving them an option across categories to provide them with product that was well-priced and well-made.
And so were you and are you designing the knitwear and the leather goods and so on?
We were. So we've had to learn on the go and do courses and learn from friends and what have you. But we did bring on a permanent designer in 2011, and he's been instrumental in actually moving us in the direction that we've headed in. I realised very quickly that I'm not an apparel designer and, you know, that it's really important, obviously, as everybody knows, to have your product made and well-designed and that fits.
And I think that's one of our strengths. Everything we do make, we do design in-house.
And where do you get it made?
We go where the technique or the craft is, you know. So, for example, in India, we get all our leather goods made there because the tanning industry is it's a traditional craft there. The jewellery is made mostly in the Philippines. The apparel is made in a mix of China. Our swimwear is made in Australia. Some shoes are made in Italy, all over the place.
I imagine that's a big part of your business, is finding decent producers, manufacturers.
Yeah, sourcing's a big part of the business, and having those trustworthy relationships with suppliers is absolutely integral. So, and also our business is moving in, we've always run a very ethical business, but we're moving very much into a sustainable business model. And so that's thrown up a whole lot of new challenges in terms of sourcing and the transparency that we have with existing suppliers, some of whom have been with us for 14 years.
What does that mean to you?
As a business?
Yeah, when you say sustainable business, what does it mean?
It means a whole host of things. We could probably fill 2 hours of talking about that on its own. But there's an ethical side of things, which understands the supply chain and the transparency with manufacturers right from the end maker through to the person who provides you with, you know, the threads or who dyes the fabrics. Then there's a sustainable side, which looks at the breakdown of the product. It looks at waste management. It looks at ethical sourcing with animal welfare. It's a huge topic and something that we're really motivated by and committed to. And for a business of our size in our industry, it's unique because we actually put on board a permanent person on our team last year who is our ethical and sustainability coordinator, which is highly unusual for a business of our size.
How big is your business? How many people work for you?
We have 75 that work for us in Melbourne, and then we've got a team of probably another 15 or so internationally who are spread across several continents.
Mm-hmm. And what's your turnover?
Our turnover is...
do you want to tell me?
I should know.
it's just a tad shy of 20 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And I noticed your website says .com/AU.
Mm-hmm.
Which implies that there's a /US and a /Europe.
Correct.
Is that right?
Japan, New Zealand. So the new website that we've got coming on board soon is actually going to be customised per region as well. And so there'll be some language changes and cultural considerations that we'll have depending on where it is.
So it won't let me go to /Japan or anything like that. So what happens if I did that? Would it be in Japanese?
Eventually, yes. Not entirely. I think the translation side of it and the management side of it would just be a bit of a nightmare, but there will be certain parts of it, say the About Us section, contact session, that sort of thing, which will be customised.
And so what proportion of your sales is globally rather than Australia?
15% is global at the moment, but that's certainly an area of growth that we're focusing on.
And with the fulfilment of the global sales, does the stuff come back to Australia and then get sent to the customers overseas, or if it's a piece of leatherware that you've made in India, you're sending it straight from India to the customers?
Yeah, look, I mean, all of it comes back to Australia. Fundamentally, we're an Australian business. So our core focus is to drive jobs in Australia. So we bring everything here and then we break it down and then we export it back out. We use FedEx as a partner to ship our goods out, and they're incredibly reliable and get the goods to the destination every time. They're just fabulous.
And are you selling much online?
Absolutely. So I think off the top of my head, it's about 20% of our business is online.
And is that growing more quickly than the store sales and the wholesale?
Handover. I mean, online sales globally, I think, or in Australia, growing at 40%, and that's consistent with our business as well.
And do you think that you're becoming, you are gradually becoming an online business?
I think that
will be going too far?
I think there'll always be a blend across, but I think in essence, yes, because even the business customers that we have want to use online mechanisms to place their order and purchase their stock. So I guess effectively that makes sense.
Because when you started 2004, yeah. Wouldn't there be much online going on then at all?
There was nothing. There was none.
So then you were basically a couple of stores or one store and some wholesale, is that right?
A single store, and then we're a wholesale distribution company, that's correct.
Yeah, and that's kind of mostly what you are now, I guess, but not entirely, growing more quickly online.
Yeah, correct.
Correct, but I think we have a very holistic approach to the business, and we've got a unique position where we're retail, we're wholesale, and we're online, and we're domestic and international. So it enables us as a business to be a little bit more flexible, and we also do see patterns where one side of the business might be down, and that's actually the other side of the business is up. So it does give us, it helps with risk aversion a little bit. And it's certainly a model that allows us to build the brand awareness. And, you know, there's so much of our online business is actually driven by wholesale, and wholesale is also driven by online. Mm.
But that also presents challenges from a technical point of view in relationship to integrations and software and systems and processes. As the world changes, we need to meet those challenges, and that's proving to be quite complex. But we're working hard to resolve those, which is good.
So where do you think you'll be in 10 years' time?
Well, still here, doing what we're doing, and I think that we'll have more retail stores open, which would be great in key areas.
Oh, so you would open more stores. You don't think you'll close stores and go entirely online. You'd be opening stores.
I think that our business is built on customer service. It's built on relationships, and that's we try where we can to support all of our online business with customer service, but certainly bricks and mortar still enables us to actually talk to our customers directly, see how they interact with the product. It gives us direct market access to see how people engage with us. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well done, and congratulations on what you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, and we're very proud this year. We won the Telstra Business Award, so we are the Australian.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. I'm sorry that I didn't.
No, well done. No, it was great, and I think it's actually been an amazing program that's been allowing us to step back and look at things and analyse things as where we've been and where we're going.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely fabulous experience, no doubt about that.
Mm. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Marnie Godding and Adam Koniaris, who are the co-founders of Elk.